The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Shaw sets. And the 1-2, and a swing and a ground ball past Ramirez down the left field line. In to score is Almora. On his way to third is Rizzo, leaping at second base is Zobrist. And the RBI double has given the Cubs a 7-6 lead. Davis a decent lead being held on by Rizzo. And the next pitch to Martinez, a swing and a slow chopper toward third. Here comes Bryant on to first. And the Cubs have won the World Series. A moment that many thought might never happen has happened here in Cleveland. For the first time in 108 years, the Chicago Cubs are World Series champions.
Well, never thought I'd hear that. Lots of other great stuff to get to, too, so let's just jump right in. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the bleeping master. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not a no, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Thursday. Weekend's almost here. Been a fun sports week already. What's going on, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports and stuff like that. What's going on with you, man?
The same. More stuff than anything, but a lot of sports. I did.
It was a sportsy day.
Yeah. I tell you what, last night, I know it didn't go your way in the gambling. One hell of a finish, though. You can't ask for much better, much more excitement for a Game 7 than the way that ended.
No, it was good. It was good. It's, obviously, for me, it's disappointing, the finish. But the reality is that's one of the best. That's one of the best series that we've seen in a long time, and I actually enjoyed watching some baseball.
It was fun. We watched the first six innings or so. At one of our watering holes, and there's a bunch of Cubs fans in there. It was really exciting to be around them, man. They were all fired up. And then things did not go so well, but, and then the rain delay and everything else to just, drag it out even more. But, I enjoyed watching that. And congratulations to Cubs fan. Although I'm admit to being just a little bit irritated by something. As I was driving in today, I was listening to the NHL channel I listened to on Sirius, and they had the GM of the Blackhawks on, and he was talking about how tough it is to be a Chicago sports fan. I'm like, you got to be bleeping kidding me. Your hockey team is the closest thing to a dynasty that there is right now.
Yeah.
The 85 Bears, the greatest football team ever.
You won six basketball championships in 8 years.
That Michael Jordan guy was pretty good. Sox won a title.
Yeah, and you have a baseball title in the last 10 years. I mean, piss off,
exactly.
Chicago fan.
Yeah, if you really think that, you guys can suck it. Welcome to Houston. Jeez, I couldn't believe he said that. I'm just listening to that going, are you nuts? For a Cubs fan specifically, yeah. Although it is a little, part of it's a little funny to me because I'm a lifelong Cubs fan. I had a friend text me that last night that it's like, this is the greatest night of my life. I've been a lifelong Cubs fan. You're 27 years old. You were there for 1/4 of this.
Yeah.
What the hell? You know what? I've been a lifelong Astros fan. You know how long I've been waiting? Longer than that. So I kind of felt a lot of that funny, but I admit, though, it was really exciting to see. And now what do you do? Now that you've won one, Chicago Cubs fan?
I said this last night. I tweeted. I said, if Chicago Cubs fan isn't whiny, sort of underdog, never win, woe is us guy, What is he? Like, what's your...
Well, now he's a Red Sox fan. Now everybody's going to hate you.
You think so?
Yeah. Now you're
probably
gonna...
so. You're not lovable loser anymore?
No, you're not lovable loser. Now you're just...
Because now you're probably going to be, like, arrogant, pretentious. It's so funny. Everybody hates the Yankees until they win using that Yankees method.
Yeah.
Like, you pay for a bunch of good players and you win with them. Then it's like, oh, yeah, that's what you got to do. No, they actually went as far as to use the Yankees closer to do it. So I think that's kind of funny, yeah. But the Red Sox always talked about the evil empire, and then they were like, wait a minute, if we spend a whole bunch of money, we could win championships too.
And then
the genius, Theo Epstein, the genius, you know what his genius idea was? I'll go from Boston, where I won a championship by spending a bunch of money. I'll take that same cockamamie theory to Chicago and see if it works there. And lo and behold, it works. I mean, it's pretty simple. And listen, are there exceptions? Well, sure. Kansas City won with a pretty low payroll. They did that to me, when a team like that wins, that's genius work. And listen, Chicago has a couple guys that they home grew that are arguably their best players are homegrown and very good. But they did the same thing. I mean, John Lester didn't grow, he didn't come up through the Iowa Cubs. I can tell you that. You know, so it's.
But they did draft a couple guys who were.
Oh, of course. And really, the core of their franchise is Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo, and they drafted those guys. So, I mean, they did a good job. But if you spend enough money, you're gonna have a good chance of winning.
Well, and spend money and spend it right, because
that's a key.
That's the second part of it, because the Red Sox have not really spent it right over the last few years, and now they're just evil. They're not an empire. I mean, they're a good team, but they spend as much as anybody. And look at the Dodgers, what they spend.
Yeah,
and it hasn't bought them a series yet.
But the Cubs still. I mean, they had $167 million payroll this year.
Yeah, that's okay.
So it's not like the loser thing, and like, you know. This isn't anything like what Kansas City did.
Yeah, and when I think of Cubs as lovable losers, and this will be before your time, I think of when they first came on WGN and you were watching them every day, and Ryne Sandberg and Rick Sutcliffe and all those knuckleheads.
Oh, I remember Ryne Sandberg and Andre Dawson.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Then, I guess I was probably, you're probably.
Mark Grace.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Those were teams that were fun. And they
Mike Berryhill behind the plate. Yeah, I remember.
Bobby Dernier in center field. Yeah. That to me kind of epitomizes what they were, which was a team that had a bunch of what seemed like good guys that were out there, you know, overachieving and never quite getting there.
Yeah.
That was fun. This is basically, if you're a big market team that spends money and spends it wisely, this is what you can do. And that's what they did.
But I will steer this back to a local angle. If you're not spending $130 million in baseball, which is, I think the 2016 average for payroll is $131 million.
Yeah.
You really don't have a chance. And you can go through the teams that spent less than $130 million, and almost to a team, they're just bad. And honestly, the most successful one of the bunch this year was the Indians. The Indians were the best. But the Astros were the only other one that was even close to being potentially a playoff team. If the Indians would have won this series, it would have been a huge upset and a huge miracle. And I'm guessing now, because this is what the Royals did. The Royals got close, and then they said, you know what, if we want to win, we've really got to dump some money into this thing. And they did, and they won. If the Indians are smart, they're going to put some money into this thing in the offseason. Because
they're close. They're really close. They were one inning away, basically.
Yeah, so. And you know, they're going out there. They had three starting pitchers left. I mean, it's a mess. But if they had $40 more million in payroll on that team, they probably win. And same with the Astros. If you had $40 million in payroll, which is probably an ace starting pitcher and a 35 home run bat to your lineup, the Astros probably made the playoffs. Maybe even gone deep in the playoffs.
And that's what they need this offseason. They need those two things if they want to be competitive. And you know, the reality is, I'm not for spending a bunch of money on old dudes where you're paying them for what they did. So I think you have to do it right. You have to get guys that are the right age where you're going to have them for 2, 3, 4 years as players as opposed to 1 or 2. And I think they – and then you supplement that throughout the season. And I thought the Cubs did that masterfully, really. I mean, they've got a bunch of guys that they've drafted that are good, young, and talented. And then they traded some of those guys. That's going to happen as you build a roster. They signed some good veterans. And it was just a good combination. They were the best team all year. So – congratulations. 713-780-ESPN. Can I the one thing in here before we go to break? Not baseball related.
Sure.
I'm asking this of all the blitzers. When it rains just a little bitty bit, you can drive faster than 5 miles an hour. You really can. It's okay. Especially on a freeway. Talking to you 59. 10 miles an hour would be fine. You don't have to drive 5. It's so amazing. Every time a raindrop falls, nothing but brake lights. Everybody just stops. That's not the way to do it.
No. But that's always a problem here. For a city that rains so much.
I know. You would think that people wouldn't have it figured out by now. And 59 is the worst for that, man. I don't know what it is. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in.
All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about Dirt Free. Two things you got to do this fall. Go to the Texas Renaissance Festival and get your carpets clean before the holidays. You can do both with one call right now to Dirt Free Carpet Cleaning. 281-DIRT-FREE. You'll get 3 rooms of carpet clean for just $150, and you'll get free tickets to the Texas Renaissance Festival. Give them a call, 281-DIRT-FREE, and go chemical-free with Dirt Free. The other guys, they're leaving behind all this water, the soapy residue, the unhealthy chemicals that are trapping dirt and allergens. That'll make your family sick. That'll make your pet sick. That'll make you sick. It's not the case with Dirt Free. Go chemical free with Dirt Free. They've been doing this for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. Call 281-DIRT-FREE and tell them you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5. You'll get 3 rooms of carpet cleaned for just $150, and you'll get free tickets to the Texas Renaissance Festival while supplies last. 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free Carpet. Now dance, good chance, man.
The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys. You want to get some action in tonight? Or if you want to play those races that are coming up this weekend, there's one place to go. MyBookie.lv. It's my go-to site now. It's the only one I use. And guess what they're doing? They've extended that offer. 100% bonus when you sign up and deposit today. But you better jump on it because it's about to end. Use my promo code FRED. That way you'll make sure you get that 100% bonus. Cool thing about them, no hassle payouts. There's no fine print. Great customer service. If you have a problem, just give them a call. They will work with you. 844-900-BETS or visit mybookie.lv to open an account. Make sure you use that promo code FRED to get your 100% bonus before it's gone. And I'm telling you, man, they've got everything you could possibly want on this site, every possible sport. And plus that big race book, and there's some big races this weekend. 844-900-BETS or go online to mybookie.lv to start winning today. Ditch your bookie. Time to try MyBookie.
Texas A&M Mississippi State College Football, 11 a.m. Saturday on ESPN 97.5. Presented locally by Doggett Heavy Machinery.
And we're back on the Blitz. 713 sent a text, and I meant to mention this yesterday. So shout out to everyone who passed the Texas State Bar Exam. Blitzer here with a wife who passed. Congratulations, because I know there's a couple of Blitzers that I saw tweeting about it that found out they passed. And congratulations, guys. That's no small accomplishment. It's one thing to get through law school. Passing that damn bar is another thing entirely. So congratulations to all the Blitzers who managed to do that. 713-780-ESPN. Hey, a lot of people asking about it. The Carbach being bought by Anheuser-Busch. Pretty big news today in the
no doubt
in the beer world. My first reaction, I think, was a lot like a lot of people's. Like, oh, this is awful. It's going to be bad. But maybe it'll work out. I don't ever think it's a good thing when these big companies buy craft beer places. But if they continue to do things the way they're doing them and then just distribute them more nationally, then I don't think it's a bad thing. So I'm going to give it a chance and see what happens first.
Here's why I'll tell you what I like about it and what I don't like about it. What I don't like about it is that Anheuser-Busch has done a lot through legislature to try to make things difficult for craft beer
to
thrive.
Yeah, they have. Remember that woman that took all that money from them to sponsor that bill, and she didn't even have any of them in her damn district?
So is it frustrating for a local brewery that I love to sell to someone who is, at the end of the day, trying to make it difficult on craft beer? Yeah, that sucks. But then I put myself in those same shoes. And remember, it's a business. And Carbach's been open for 5 years. I don't know what it costs to open Carbach, and I don't know what it costs to, or what it costs AB to buy them today, but I'm guessing it was a well into the eight figures check.
Oh, God, yeah.
That was passed over today. And I don't think there's anything in my life that if you put $25 million in front of me, it wouldn't change my morals or I shouldn't say morals because this isn't really a moral thing. It's an ideals thing. My business ethics or ideals. And someone said, "Oh, they're selling out to a company that wants to kill the business." And my thought was this: let's say tomorrow, Fred, that someone came in here with a check for us for $25 million, and said, "Hey, this is what we want to do with your radio show. We're going to give you this $25 million. You're going to do things the way we like it done now instead of the way you've been doing it. And the bad news about this is it's also going to kind of screw over the radio business as a whole. What do you take that check? Because I do."
Yeah.
Because honestly, in business, I don't care about the radio business as a whole. I care about me.
Well, yeah, that's why you do this.
Everybody who starts a business to make money. And it's kind of like we said about the UFC. And they were like, why would anyone sell the UFC? Well, because they got offered $4 billion for it. And sometimes when that money's in front of your face, you don't worry about the consequences of it. Do you think the Fertitta said, "Well, if we sell, the UFC might," and this is what the UFC's done. They've started cutting staff.
Right.
It's making the fighters are less happy than they were already. But when you're the Fertittas, that's not your problem. You just got $4 billion. So you move on and that's their problem now.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a tough call to make. I mean, I don't know the details of it. I'm friends with someone there who, pretty high up in that deal, the head brewer. I tried to talk to him today, and he was like, I'll get with you later on it." He said his phone's been melting today. Oh, obviously, sure, it's a big day for them.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, those dudes, I mean, when they started that company, and this is the funny thing, because there are craft beer bars, there are small craft brewers who have come out today, like, most craft beer bars are selling all their Carbach stock for basically pennies on the dollar.
Right.
Because they're just getting rid of all that. They're not going to carry it in their bars anymore. That's fine. I understand that.
Okay.
There are small craft breweries around town posting, "We will never sell out. Never." And they say that when they've got when they're putting out 5% of what Carbach puts out over the course of a year. If they got offered a check like Carbach just got offered, I promise you they would reconsider the "we'll never sell out" thing. Okay? And it's easy to say when you're like a three-man operation and you know your brewery's never going to be bought by AB InBev because it doesn't impact them enough. Carbach is starting to produce enough where they make an impact. I mean, that's why they got bought.
Right. And it fits what Anheuser-Busch has been doing around the country with some of the others, like Goose Island and some places like that. I don't fault them at all. And I also think I'm going to give it a wait-and-see attitude. And I think it's kind of silly to say, "Oh, we're a craft beer bar. We're not going to have you in there anymore." Because if they're putting out the same products and doing the same things, then it doesn't really matter. Now, if that changes, then that'll change my opinion. But I think it's easy to call it a sellout. And I'll put the best parallel I can to how I feel about this. Let's say Culture Map called me tomorrow and wanted to buy Houston Sports and stuff and said, we want to pay some money for it. We'd like you to keep doing it for a while, but then we want Chris Baldwin to be the guy. If it's a life-changing amount of money, guess what?
Okay.
All right, great.
Yeah, because I'm going to take that money, and then it's not my problem.
Exactly. And then I'm going to go do something else
that's
related to another business and try to make some more money.
You know, and this, it's funny, Barry and I, Barry Laminack and I, used to own a website together. An MMA, a Houston MMA website. And technically, we still own it. Am I hearing something in my ears?
Yeah, I am too.
What is that?
Sounds like a feed from a national thing or something.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm hearing it, too.
I'll try and pretend like I don't hear it, but I definitely hear it.
Yeah, I hear it, too.
Okay. Barry and I own this website called The Cage Door, and we talked about there were people who made offers on it because it had a brand to it. It had people who went every day and used the site.
It was a really good site.
It's a popular website. Barry and I did all the work on it, and it was exhausting. And at the end of the day, the amount of work we put into it wasn't worth the money we were getting out of it. So we just stopped doing it. And there were talks about, well, should we sell it? And at the end of the day, Barry said, you know what? I'd rather wait instead of taking the best offer we get now. I'd rather wait until like either someone makes a ridiculous offer and we sell it, or we just leave it dead because it's not worth $5,000 to sell the site and let someone run it into the ground. You know, if someone came around and offered $50,000 for it, I'm pretty sure it would have been a different discussion. But I think that may have been the best offer we got, like $5,000, like the $10,000 maybe. And he was like, that's not worth it. But if someone came around and offered $50,000, $100,000, I'm pretty sure it would have changed minds about that. So it's easy to say, I wouldn't sell out for any amount of dollars when you know that no one's coming to you with a blank check. When someone comes to you with a blank check, you kind of change your mind about things like that.
And what I would do is kind of sit back and appreciate what those guys did for craft beer in Houston. I mean, they had as much to do with the boom as anybody. And, you know, yeah, it's a shame. It's if you want me to start listing my top three favorite local breweries, they're in there. But I think people don't see the business side of it. They just see it as, and in a way, it's to kind of bring it back to sports. It's you feel invested. And one of the things that's made a lot of these breweries great, especially the ones that are, you know, in the suburbs and places like that, is you feel locally invested in them, like they're your sports team. Because, hey, this is, you know, I live in Katy, No Label's my brewery. Or, I live in Webster, Saloon Door's my brewery. So you kind of invest in them emotionally. So when you see something like this, and Carbox, one that's big enough that I guarantee a lot of people in the city, their first craft beer was a Carbox.
Guaranteed. Sure, a lot, yeah.
And so they're invested. And when something like this happens, it's like your team being sold to a big corporate entity and you're afraid they're going to leave town.
I looked at it. I think it's a lot like rock bands,
yeah,
and like independent, like punk bands, or Modest Mouse was the band that I used talking to someone else about this in an analogy. There's a bunch of people who are like, oh, I loved Modest Mouse before they sold out and went to a major label, but then it's like if you really loved that band, but you wanted them to sit around making, you know, junk money when they could have actually made real legit life-changing money, that's not love. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I will say this. If Carbach, if the quality of the beer goes down, I won't drink it anymore.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I'll give it the benefit of the doubt at first. But if it goes downhill, yeah, I'd move on.
But if it's the same beer, at the end of the day, I don't care. I don't care if my money's going to some rich guy in Missouri or some rich guy, you know, in College Station, which is where it was going before. I don't care about that. I put it like this. While I don't agree, I don't like AB InBev. My analogy was this. Disney ruined Star Wars for me, but it doesn't mean that I'm not going to watch a football game when it comes on ESPN. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's if there's still a good football game on ESPN, I'm not going to say, yeah, but remember they ruined Star Wars. their parent company ruined Star Wars, so I'm just out on that altogether. To me, it's just pretentious, but I will say this. A lot of craft beer guys are very pretentious, and they're very much like Modest Mouse listener. That's what they are.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess to everyone their own, and if that's your decision and you don't want to ever drink Carbach again, I mean, I can't fault you, but... you know, if the beer's good, I'm going to drink it. I'm not
BBH
that cool.
BBH is still BBH. I don't
That's
care.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm spending my $15 for it. I really don't care.
Oh, and here's the other thing. It's probably going to be $13 now.
Yeah.
And you know what else? Dave Tepper, who lives in Nebraska, will probably be able to get his hands on BBH now without me shipping him a box. So, I mean, there's a lot of positives that come out of this, but people worry too much about stuff that really doesn't affect them at the end of the day.
Yeah, I understand. I understand why people feel that way. I just don't. And it'd be the same as if Sirius came and offered us a bunch of money and said, yeah, we want you to come do national, but you're not going to be on in Houston. Okay.
Sorry. And also remember, like, a lot of you people who are so pretentious about spending money with the big companies, the man, let me tell you where you're getting your gasoline from. Let me tell you, every time you go to Walmart or Target or HEB for that matter, or Kroger, you're giving money to the man. You're not shopping at a farmer's market? What? You're giving money to the man, not to the little guy. Don't be so pretentious. Marcus says, I sound like Lil Wayne and that Black Lives Matter doesn't affect him and his hoes, only thinking about yourselves. It has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, when you start a business, Marcus, you sound like a guy who doesn't own a business. Because when you start a business, the purpose of the business is to make money, to profit. And I don't care what anybody says. I'm sure there's a lot of craft beer guys that say, oh, we do it for the love. Let me tell you, if that number's in the red for a few months, you'll stop doing it for the love. The love goes away because you can't afford to do something for the love. That's America. That's capitalism. That's business. You can't do it just for the love. You've got to make money.
I agree. And honestly, every business that I've started, you always in the back of your mind, it's like, hey, somebody might want to buy this someday. And if they do, okay. All right.
David says, funny because Modest Mouse music improved drastically after signing with major label records. They kind of sucked before. Well, listen, I don't give a damn about Modest Mouse. I think Modest Mouse sucked then and now. But that's what skinny jeans wearing, man Uggs wearing indie music listener, that's what they'll say. And that's what craft beer guy is. They're the same guy with the neck beard and the pants that are too tight and that are about 4 inches too short. They're like mid-calf pants and a super tight button-up shirt. They kind of dress like Jong, but they're usually fatter and they have a big beard. That's craft beer guy.
All right. when you buy a car, guess what you're doing? You're
giving money to the man.
Exactly. So you know what? If you're angry over this, here's what I want you to do. I want you to donate your car to Houston Can Academy. Because that way you're not giving money to the man anymore. You're giving money to do something good. You want to do something good in the world, right? And this is what you'd be doing. You'd be changing lives. Houston Can Academy takes in kids that have dropped out of other schools, gives them a second chance. And so many of them go on to do great things. They graduate. They become part of the community. And they would have never gotten that opportunity without the school. And you can help. All you have to do is donate a vehicle. And if it's not running anymore, it doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. It could be a car, a truck, a motorcycle, a boat, an RV. Doesn't matter. They'll take it in whatever shape it's in. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to come tow the vehicle free of charge. They take care of all the paperwork, so it's fast and easy. And your donation is tax deductible. That simple. End of the year, you're going to be able to have a nice tax write-off. And guess what? You donate today, how about this? A $50 Visa gift card. Just their way of saying thank you. Make sure you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. They'll get you that $50 Visa gift card, too. And it doesn't matter what kind of shape the car is in. Maybe it's something that was, got messed up in the floods and you just never got around to fixing it. Well, this is a way to do a good thing, get rid of it, and get a tax deduction. Give them a call, 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid. They're going to run back to me. They always want to come, but they
never want to leave. ESPN 97.5.
the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. There are some things I wish we could do on air that we can't. Let's grab a phone call. Rodney, you're on The Blitz. Go.
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, man, I just wanted to tell y'all yesterday, my drive home, I leave my office at 4, and I got caught up in traffic. And that first hour yesterday, I've been listening to sports talk radio since 1990 in Houston. And that was the funniest thing I've ever heard on sports talk radio. So props to y'all on that, man, for a good job making my ride a lot easier driving. And I generally don't call in to talk radio since my good buddy CP is no longer on the air. But with that said, I'm a Cowboys fan. Just wanted to know what you guys thought about, you know, us playing Dak and all is well, everybody's healthy through the rest of the year, making it to the NFC Championship.
I think the way they're playing right now, they've got as good a chance as anybody. I just think it's going to be, yeah, you've got to keep Zeke Elliott healthy. Although I like their backups too. They keep that offensive line healthy, stay healthy on defense. Those are always big things. And at some point, I still believe you're going to need Tony Romo to take you where you want to go at some point. A healthy Tony Romo, not broken down Tony Romo.
Yeah.
But I you have every reason to be excited about that team right now. You should, because they've got some good wins on their resume. They're playing good football. They're not making a lot of mistakes. They've got that offensive line is really the key to that whole team because they can possess the football. They allow Elliott to get holes and run, and that keeps the defense off the field. And Prescott's not turning the ball over. And you do that, you're going to win football games. And I look at that NFC, and I still think the Seahawks will get it put together at some point. Is there anybody else though you really look at right now and say, yeah, that team scares the living crap out of me if you're the Cowboys?
Not really. I mean, I don't know if I'm willing to say the Cowboys are the best team in the NFC, because I still think Seattle and Atlanta on paper have the most talent, but they both have gaping flaws in their games right now. I mean, basically one side of both of those teams sucks.
Right.
Minnesota, same thing. And even Minnesota's defense didn't even look that good this week against Chicago, for crying out loud. So, I mean, Dallas is one of the most complete teams in that conference. You know, is it fool's gold? I don't know. I don't know if. And here's the other thing.
I don't think it is.
Are you gonna trust a rookie quarterback in the playoffs? I'm probably not.
No, and that's why I'm saying I think to get where you want to go at some point you're gonna need a healthy Tony Romo.
Yeah.
And hopefully you'll have that. What scares me more about Tony Romo is if you do get him out there, I think he's going to break again.
I wouldn't shock
you. I just think he's at that age now where.
But you know what's great about that? You've got a backup who's got a ton of experience now.
Yeah. So.
You know, there's another team in the NFC that their record wouldn't say that they're good, but like watching them again and just the talent that they have on paper, Arizona is as good as anybody. You know, if they get their bleep together, they're one of the few teams that has a ton of talent and a coach that I actually believe in. So that's a team that I could see coming back and having a strong second half and making a push.
I wouldn't write them off just yet. Just like the Seahawks, I wouldn't quite write off. And I hate to admit it because I trash these guys every chance I get, but Redskins are actually a better football team than I gave them credit for. And I think they're going to hang around a little bit too. But if you ask me which team I'd want right now playing the way they are out of all those, I take the Cowboys. They're playing the best football. Got to do it for the second half of the season. And we see this a lot. A lot of teams are playing really well, look like world beaters, and then they start getting a few injuries and start to fade a little bit. We also see teams start off like this and keep going. And that's what we'll find out over the second half, which one of those teams they'll be. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You're getting a lot of criticism for
that's okay.
Your hatred of Modest Mouse.
Oh, I thought it was going to be about the beer thing.
No, most people are actually...
I mean, listen, I understand if you completely disagree and if you're never going to buy Carbach again, I'm not here to tell you you should.
That's your choice.
But I'm just saying at the end of the day, we all, every one of us, if you order things from Amazon.com, guess what? You're giving money to the man. You ever go to Walmart, you're giving money to the man. You ever go to Target, you're giving money to the man. So, let's not – every time you fill up your car, unless you're driving around one of those Leaf cars that you have to plug in when you get to Whole Foods.
Oh, those Teslas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then even if you go to Whole Foods, you're giving money to the man. Now, used to you weren't giving money to the man at Whole Foods. Now, they're the man.
Yeah.
You've got to go to a farmer's market in Conroe if you don't want to give money to the man. That's the only way to do it. So, I don't know. I mean, everybody is sort of hypocritical about this. I do feel bad for some of the people kind of in the middle at Carbach, because there's probably a lot of people at Carbach right now who are A, worried about their jobs.
Right.
B, probably taking an enormous amount of crap for this, for a decision that they had no role in.
Right.
The worst person I feel bad for is whoever runs Carbach's social media. I mean, that's a job that I do not envy today, because take one look at Twitter or Facebook and there's not a lot of people saying nice things about Carbach right
now. So Barry came in here and I was like, hey, are you a craft beer guy? He goes, hell no. Bud Light is what I drink. And then he said, tell the guys when the hopadilla turns green, that's when you know you can drink it.
Listen. This is the other thing, and this is going to make craft beer guy mad at me too, and that's why I'm not a real craft beer guy apparently. If Budweiser tasted like good beer, like if it was a great beer, I would drink it. It's just not my thing. I don't like it. If Coors Light was delicious, I'd buy Coors Light every day. But Coors Light doesn't taste good to me. It tastes like ass, so I don't buy it. Do I wish I could get craft beer for? You know, $8 for a 30-pack? Yeah, that'd be awesome. It's not fun to go and spend, you know, go to Specs downtown and walk out paying $350 for some beer. That's not a fun thing. I think I spent over like $1,100, $1,200 on Black Friday at Specs. I don't love that. You know who else didn't love that? My wife. She didn't love that. She wishes I would have bought 2 30-packs of Coors Light. But Coors Light tastes like ass, so I don't.
Yeah, that.
I don't want to drink canned ass. Is Coors Light a sponsor?
Maybe they may. If so, you have to dump that entire segment.
Yeah. Tell them I'm sorry.
Sorry, didn't mean it.
Yeah, I should have used Busch Light. Maybe I know they're not spending advertising dollars.
Keystone. Let's use Keystone.
Natty Light. Natty Light, not a sponsor for sure.
Oh, man. Well, I don't even know where to go. I guess we'll tell.
Yeah, Atlas makes a good point. Craft beer guy bitches at Carbach, but still waits in line for Bourbon County on Black Friday. And that's what I was saying. I waited in that line on Black Friday for Bourbon County, for Rare and for Regal Rye. Delicious beers, by the way, even though they're owned by the man. And all the guys bitching today were in that line with me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, guys, let's talk about something happy. Let's talk about food. We all like food, right?
I do.
How about good food?
It's got to be good food. Not sourced by the man, I hope.
Oh, of course not.
Not big business food. Not McDonald's.
Oh, no. That's not what you get with Blue Apron.
No.
Because they go to family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. This is perfect for you.
These guys aren't hypocrites.
No, and for less than $10 a meal, they deliver great recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. And this is such a cool process, because we get ours, and we get 3 meals a week because there's 2 of us. And it's amazing. Less than 40 minutes. We've got a great meal. It's all step-by-step. It shows you what to do. And the food has been fantastic, man. I can't say enough about it. And it's healthy on top of that.
All right, guys. And if you want to check out this week's menu, and you can get your first 3 meals for free with free shipping, by going to blueapron.com/blitz. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create these incredibly home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. blueapron.com/blitz. You're going to get your first three meals on the house with free shipping. There's no reason not to try it. blueapron.com/blitz. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
And we'll all float on anyway. Well, I think you'll make them took every last time with that scam.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Hey guys, sports to you.
On ESPN 97.5.
Sports to you.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, your home for Aggie sports. Stay sportsy.
And we're back on The Blitz. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. If you don't have an iPhone or an Android, you can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. HD show, Fred Davis and Henry Thomas, 7 o'clock. So, my only experience with Modest Mouse.
Are we going to play Modest Mouse all day?
No.
Don't they only have like two or three songs? I feel like we've pretty much run through them.
I know one song of theirs.
The Float On? Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, this is it. I ran into a cop car the other day. And he just drove off. I guess life's okay. Brilliant. See, I mean, the lyrics are so deep. John Lennon would be proud. Oh, those Modest Mouse fellas, they've got a real thing going here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the only one of theirs I actually know.
I didn't know what he was saying until you just said it.
Sometimes life's okay. Yeah. Bob Dylan is impressed with this.
He's rolling over in his grave.
Modest Mouse is going to get the next Nobel Prize for literature for that song. A little known fact. They were up for it against Bob Dylan. They missed out this year. I'm guessing
it was
next
close.
Year
it was like one vote. Yeah. Dylan won by a vote. I guess this is the last time I was single, which getting to be about 9 years ago now. There's this girl I was just totally trying to powder, right? And she's like, well, we don't like the same kind of music. I'm like, you know what? I'll give your music a try because that's what you do. It's like, I just love Modest Mouse. It starts playing some of it, and I'm like, I mean, I'm getting nothing. It's just like, okay. That's really good. Cool. We'll go see them. Sure, no problem. And I really like this band Wilco. I want you to listen to them. And I'm like, listen to them? It's the exact same thing. Nothing. Yeah, I know. Hey, if you're into them, people love their music. That's great. It just did absolutely nothing for me. So I had to sit there and lie for about 2 weeks so that I could hook up with this girl.
Did it work?
Yeah, it worked. But I also had to go to a Modest Mouse concert.
Mm.
That was worse than Nickelback, believe it or not.
Hard times.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. 713-780-3776.
Trent says, curious to what defines a craft beer. Does it mean homemade or just not from a distribution company? I think most people would consider craft beer anything that's not Bud Miller Coors or owned by one of the companies that own Bud Miller Coors. And really, a lot of people are okay with Miller or Coors owning a craft brewery. AB InBev is what most people consider like the demon to craft beer because they've tried to legislate it to make it harder for craft beer to exist. So I kind of get it, but...
Yeah, and that's when you know you got power, when you can get,
get
the laws changed.
You got money, yeah.
Yeah.
It's when you know you got money, when you're in those politicians' pockets.
Yeah, that's the irritating part of it. But like I said, if the beer doesn't change, I don't care.
Yeah.
I haven't noticed anything really different about Goose Island. And
I'll say this. Goose Island had a lot of quality problems this year when it came to their Bourbon County stuff, and they had to send out a bunch of refunds and stuff like that. And pretty big hit for their image, but it, until that happens to Carbuck, I'm the beers that I like from them, I'll keep drinking.
Yeah,
the beers I don't like, I'm not gonna suddenly start drinking. So it's the same to me. It's the same with every company, but I don't know. I understand why some of these craft beer people are upset about it. It's just it doesn't bother me that much.
Let's try a phone call. Cole, you're on the Blitz. Go. Cole.
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you, Cole.
Yeah, I was just wondering, even though Dak Prescott has came out and said that this is still Tony Romo's team or whatever, do y'all think that if Romo went in, got hurt, and Dak had to go back out, do y'all think it would affect him mentally or anything like that, being that he got pulled?
I would hope not. I mean, I like to hope that that guy, he's a middle round draft pick. When he got drafted, I doubt he got drafted and said, you know what, I'm the new starting quarterback of the Cowboys. He saw that they had a guy that was making a ton of money and has had a ton of success there.
And they signed another guy who was ostensibly to be the backup, who they didn't even keep. He won that job. I
think you're getting a lot of the cherry on top right now with Dak Prescott. Anything that he gets now is just, I mean, it's just
but you
bonus.
Never, you never know how it's going to affect somebody, because being a quarterback of that franchise, you are in, you know, you are in the eye of the storm constantly, and everything is elevated. And I could see a situation where, you know, he starts getting a really big head, and then when he gets slapped down a little bit, that it does affect him. But everybody reacts to things differently, so I don't know. I wouldn't. That's one of those things I wouldn't worry too much about. I just enjoy the ride until that decision has to be made and until something happens. But, yeah, that's one of those where you guys are just looking for problems now. And in this case, man, if that happens, we'll see how he deals with it. But I'm not sure that Tony Romo will ever be healthy enough for this to matter.
He might not be.
For this whole conversation to even matter.
He might not be. All right, guys. Guess what? Dick's is in Houston, all up in Houston right now. Six different stores now around Houston. Willowbrook Mall, Deerbrook Mall, the Woodlands Mall, First Colony Mall, and then Katy and Baybrook. Those two places have huge buildings that are actually going to house three stores. Dick's, Field & Stream, and a Golf Galaxy all in one place. And I'm telling you, I went to the grand opening a couple weekends ago. The game has changed for sporting goods stores here in Houston. The old stuff, the old guys, they're a thing of the past. This is next level what they're doing at Dick's. Everything you could imagine, whatever your game, whatever your sport, whatever level you compete at, Dick's has you covered. Biking, backpacking, fishing, water sports, basketball, baseball, football, lacrosse, you name it, they've got it. Tennis, golf, your basic workout and outdoor clothing, they've got all of it. Footwear for everything. This place is legit. It is beautiful. They'll price match anybody's advertised prices. These are the first stores of their kind to open in the whole country, and Dick's picked Houston to open them up in. Go out there and enjoy it. Enjoy what we've got here in Houston now. To find out more about the stores, visit Dick's.com/Houston. That's Dick's.com/Houston. Dick's Sporting Goods, now open in Houston.
ESPN 97.5.